Hi, this is Jonathan Mosen. Welcome again to Blind Line. It is the 1st of April 2000 today, at least it is in the US. Now, in New Zealand, it's already the 2nd of April 2000, and of course, it's also past midday everywhere on the 1st of April. Well, is it everywhere? Maybe not quite. I think it may still be the 1st of April before midday in places like Hawaii, maybe. But in most of the world it is, and I guess all of these factors, the fact that it's really the 2nd of April here in New Zealand, and the fact that just about everybody's past midday, meant that I didn't play an April Fool's joke on you this year. I was very tempted. I had all sorts of wonderful ideas. I thought of doing a mock interview with someone who'd be silly enough to collaborate with me and come on the program and talk about some sort of major device that was going to enable you to listen to every terrestrial radio station on the web, broadcasting at any time. Now, I thought that'd get people going. And then I thought I might do some sort of major announcement that ACB and NFB had merged. But then I thought, well, that could be a bit controversial. So in the end, I thought, let's get back to life, back to reality, and almost burst into song. But I decided, no, instead what we would do would be to talk about what is arguably the talk of CSUN. So I'm going to do that instead. And in just a moment, we'll hear from Pulse Data International's Jonathan Sharp and Maurice Sloan to talk about Braille Note. But this blind line is actually quite historic in some respects, because it is the last blind line to be heard at this time. ACB Radio's new format will be launching on the 10th of April, Universal Time. What we'll be doing is doing 2 hours of new live programming every day between 100 and 300 hours, or 1 and 3 hours Universal Time, which will be, at the moment, with daylight time now in effect, 9 till 11 p.m. Eastern, and that is, of course, 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific time. So that will actually be on Sunday evening, if you follow me. So Sunday evening, the 9th of April, will be when we start the new format with our new technology program, Main Menu, which is going to appear every Sunday between 9 and 11 Eastern. Main Menu will feature technology interviews, technology hints and tips, and a lot of other things besides. Blind Line will be appearing 9 till 11 Wednesdays Eastern Time. That's 9 till 11 Wednesdays Eastern Time, and that's the next Blind Line. So there will be a gap. There won't be anything next weekend while we get psyched up for this big change. There are all sorts of things that we're not telling you about yet in terms of new technologies that we'll be introducing to make participating in ACB Radio even easier. So stay around for that, because we'll have some big announcements when we launch this new format. And of course, if we haven't caught up with the new format yet, just a reminder that we will be having these three streams: the old time radio stream, the music stream, and also the general kind of blindness stream. In case you are not on our ACB Radio lists, we have been asking people for suggestions, and it's not too late to put yours in. You may like to give us some suggestions after the interview is finished. But what we're looking for is names for these streams. And if you can think of some, we're going to give a prize to anyone who comes up with a suggestion that we end up using, and that will be the Blind Line Collection, a CD full of MP3 files of all the Blind Line interviews. So if that's an incentive, then think about names for the three streams, and either drop us an email at support@acbradio.org or call into the program after this. But now, on this 1st of April, time to tell you something about something that is anything but an April Fool's joke. This is the Braille Note, put together by Pulse Data International of New Zealand. And we're joined by Jonathan Sharp and Maurice Sloan of Pulse Data International, who, when I recorded the interview, were in the same room on a speakerphone. Unfortunately, you know, that's how you've got to get in the same room and everybody hear me, so they had no choice. But the speakerphone does leave a lot to be desired in terms of the audio quality. So I began by asking Maurice to give us a bit of a brief overview of Braille Note and what exactly it is and how it differs from other note takers.
When we looked at the Braille Note, we've sort of been in the business of designing note takers for 10 years plus, and we wanted to, we sort of set some goals with what we had done before and what the market was asking for, and there seemed to be about four main things that came up during our market sort of survey. And one was obviously portability, having access to sort of key productivity applications that would allow people to, you know, do their word processing, emails, appointments, scheduling, that type of thing. Had to be sort of intuitive to operate, And we wanted compatibility with Windows just for the users themselves, because we see most of these users will also probably have a Windows-based laptop or desktop. And then the other main thing was to provide access to mainstream computers, which 90% of them are running Windows systems. So that was our sort of goals behind the product, and I guess that was one of our main reasons for choosing the Windows CE platform, so that we could access some of that connectivity that is available through using Windows as a platform.
Yes, because a number of us with Braille note takers are very conscious of the fact that if we start a file on a Braille note taker, you've got to send it to a PC and then bring it into Word, and of course you've got to then reformat the document if you want to do anything other than plain text. So this is something that Braille note is handling. You handle the import and export of Microsoft Word files, I understand.
That's correct.
So what advantage does that have? I guess it may in fact open up the possibility of Word to some people who for whatever reason don't feel comfortable in the native Word applications, because you've got a kind of a custom designed environment that's useful for blind users in there.
That is right. It's also, for instance, if someone sends you an email with an attachment, quite often that will be a Microsoft Word document, and how do you read it unless you've got Microsoft Word or something that can read Microsoft Word files?
So all of the features that are, and we'll go through some of those features, but all of the features that are in the unit are specific to the Braille Note software. So it's not giving at this stage the user access to other Windows CE applications.
That is correct.
Is that likely to change in the future? I wonder, for instance, whether, and it's probably something you can't answer, but I wonder whether JFW or WindowEyes or other screen readers might come out with a CE version at some point.
That is a possibility, and if that does happen, possibility that could be run on Braille Note.
What sort of a machine do users get in terms of its processor speed and the amount of memory it has, the storage it has on board, that kind of thing?
Right, you've got to be careful with comparing a machine like this with a Windows machine, a desktop, laptop machine. In as far as processor speed, it does not use an Intel processor. It uses an NEC MIPS processor. As far as user storage goes, the standard supplied is 4 megabytes, which is a flash disk. But that can be upgraded either internally or through PCMCIA cards. And there's also a super disk drive with 128 floppy disks available.
Right. Now, that 4 megabytes that you talk about that comes standard, that's pure data storage, is it? Because the actual software would be in the firmware of the machine, I take it?
That is correct, yes. It's got an additional 8 megs of flash, which stores software and the Windows CE operating system.
When you guys come out with new versions, and I know that there is a modem on board the machine, does that mean that users will be able to upgrade the firmware from home?
They will be able to upgrade the application software from home, but the operating system itself at this stage will be a return to distributor option.
You have a 32-cell version as well as an 18-cell version. I was just curious as to why you went for 32 cells, because many of the products out there seem to go for 20, 40, or 80. You've got 32. Why that number in particular?
I guess when we looked at the portability aspects of it, we wanted to get a unit which was, the unit's about 9 by 6 by about an inch and a half thick and just weighs slightly over 2 pounds. We wanted to get something that was the same for both units, and obviously the 18 one's been chosen to, I guess, compete directly with the Braille Light. But we wanted to give people the option that if they didn't have the money to start with to go to the 32-cell unit, that they could later on, just by simply replacing the top of the unit, upgrade to the 32-cell unit. So the case for both units is the same. The board and everything is the same, so it's only the top part which differs. So it was an economic and, you know, ergonomics decision to sort of place it somewhere just slightly less than the 40, but the 32 from feedback we got from users, they felt that they could still, you know, had a significant benefit over an 18 cell for reading, but didn't lose too much over the 40 cells.
That's very interesting that it's just a case of putting in a new display at the top so that people don't have to get an entire new unit. And, of course, 32 cells is the length of the average Braille line too.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Battery life. How much juice are we going to get in this machine?
21 hours. We've established that through a sort of a typical mix of speech Braille, and the speech is actually the most thirsty part of the system. So we would expect if people are using it just straight with Braille, they would do that.
It's got a fuel gauge, so you can keep track of what battery life you've got left, and it's got a very comprehensive power management system working behind the scenes to ensure you get the most out of the battery.
Okay. I noticed from the description that I saw somewhere that it had a 33K modem, and I just wondered whether that was a cost thing, that you hadn't gone to 56K, or are there other reasons for that?
I think that at this stage we've used an onboard modem chipset, and we've sort of, for email applications at this stage, we've decided that the 33K was, you know, plenty fast enough for email, and at this stage we're not supporting web browsing. We have got the option for people that really want to go faster. If they want to put a PCMCIA modem in the slot, they can do that, but for straight email, we felt that the 33K was fast enough.
Again, I guess, with the fact that at this stage BrailleNote won't be browsing the web, it will be interesting to see whether companies like PW WebSpeak or the IBM Homepage Reader people or the myriad of other standalone browser technologies that are out there will move to CE at some point, and presumably if that's the case and it supports your speech, you'd be able to integrate that in some way.
We certainly would.
Yeah. Okay, let's look at the speech. It's the classic Keynote Gold speech, I take it, you've got there?
That's correct.
And is that based in software on the unit itself, or is it hardware?
It's based in software. It uses the Windows E sound system.
Let's take a look at some of the applications now that you have. How similar is what you've got on BrailleNote to the Keysoft suite that a number of our listeners will be familiar with?
It's very similar. Almost identical. We've got the addition of the Braille display this time, but anyone who has used the Keysoft suite will have no trouble in using the BrailleNote.
And presumably it's got additional features such as grade 2 input and output, things of that kind.
That's right. You can bring in a text file, for instance, and read it in grade 2 on the Braille display. It's got both forward and back translators, so you can translate from Braille text, of course, and from text to Braille.
Okay, so you're not only able to write a Word document, say, in grade 2 and have it come out right, but you're also able to bring in, say, a book that you might have downloaded or something from another device and read that in grade 2. It sort of translates on the fly.
That's right. Mm.
While we're on the subject of the suite of applications, I guess you would have had to do a bit of new work in the area of email clients, and one of the big difficulties with other note takers that people have had is that shell accounts are on the decline everywhere, so presumably you're making a PPP connection to the internet just like I was using my regular Windows machine, and I can use my ISP's regular account that way.
Certainly, that's what we've done.
So what kind of features, for those of us who are used to things like Outlook Express or Eudora, will we feel that we've got a full set of features in the email client you've designed?
I think so. We haven't got some of the more advanced features of those programs, but it's certainly got like attachments, sending to multiple recipients, address book.
How about message filtering? Can I set up mail folders and have certain messages go to other folders?
That's right. There's a series of mail folders, and you can choose for incoming mail what folder it goes into. copies of outgoing mail put into folders.
Right. Okay, so that's a pretty fully featured email client by anyone's standards, really.
I think if anyone's familiar with Outlook Express, they would see there's a very close similarity between the email package in the Braille Note to what they've been used to in Outlook Express. So we would expect people to have very little trouble using the package.
Of course, when you allow access to Word attachments and things, there is a proliferation of these dreadful viruses, and sometimes people are sending them without knowing that they're sending them. And you can have a document that's attached to a message, and somebody opens it up, and it's got a really wacky Word macro in it that does terrible things to your machine. Are there safeguards, or is Braille Note built in such a way that those Word macros have no effect?
Word macros are not supported. If you receive an attachment and then forward it to somebody, the file will stay intact. But as far as the Braille Note is concerned, it doesn't recognise the macros.
Okay, so people should be relatively safe when dealing with those sorts of things.
That's right, and coupled with the fact that the processor on the Braille Note is not an Intel processor, the code, any virus code won't run.
What kind of connectivity is there with other devices? Because I was quite interested to see you've got an infrared port there. Obviously, you've got a serial port. There must be a number of interesting ways to get your information out of the Braille Note and onto a standard PC or something else.
Right. The most exciting one, Jonathan, is the support of Microsoft ActiveSync. And that allows you to connect the Braille Note to your Windows-based PC. And the Braille Note comes up as a device in Windows Explorer, and you can click on that device, it's called the mobile device, and you see the disks and directories of your Braille Note, and you can transfer files to and fro.
Okay, so you'd just be able to cut, copy, and paste as you would in any other Explorer application?
That's correct.
Yeah. I was going to say, presumably ActiveSync isn't something you put your active dishes in, but you've explained what it is now, so that makes it, that makes it clear. So there must be a lot of expansion possibilities with a device like this. I guess as somebody who's involved in internet broadcasting, I'm wondering whether you will consider at some point giving some interface to streaming media technologies. I see there's a Windows Media application now for Windows CE, and it would be nice to think people could just take their Braille Notes along and tune into ACB Radio, for instance.
That is certainly a possibility. Windows CE has got a lot of potential in those communication type of areas. We've got essentially a Windows sound system plus internet support built into the operating system.
But Pulse Data has been careful, I guess, since MasterTouch, since the advent of Windows, not really to get involved in the screen reader business. I guess, quite rightly, one looks at the market and thinks that's pretty well catered for. So you don't have any plans to offer access in any way to the operating system?
Not at this stage, Jonathan. I think we've got a pretty big list of things we would like to do in the future. Like you say, there's got a lot of exciting possibilities, and I think we probably feel that our expertise is in the sort of self-contained note-taker type applications, and we want to make sure that we get the best people in that area, and I think that's where our main focus will be in the next 1 to 2 years anyway, and we'll keep evaluating as time goes on as to whether it's good to move into other areas.
Can you describe the way the note take looks, how heavy it is, how big it is, that sort of thing?
It's basically it's about 9 inches long, about 6 inches from front to back, an inch and a half thick, weighs just over 2 pounds. It's a grey moulded case, very ergonomic. On the top, in the centre, at the back, you've got a speaker, and you've got 8 Braille keys. 6 of those are normally the dots 1 through 6, and the outer ones are your backspace and an enter key. Then slightly lower down on the front, on the top of it, you've got the Braille display, which is either 18 or 32 cells. and the 18 cell is located centrally in the case, whereas the 32 cell takes up the whole case. Above each braille cell, we've got touch cursors, and that's in both the 18 and the 32 cell model. Along the front edge of the unit, we've got thumb keys, which are used for the navigating on the braille display, and basically you've got previous, back, advance, next keys, and the assignment of those can be changed to suit individual user preferences. If they like the advanced key to be the outside keys, they can configure it that way. On the ends of it, on one end we've got a standard PCMCIA slot, a Type 2 slot. On the back we've got a standard 25-pin printer connection, parallel connection, a standard 9-pin serial, the infrared port, and down the other end is basically a reset switch, the on-off switch, and a headphone jack. I think that's, and the, just perhaps to give you a bit of an idea of the colour of the system, it's a grey moulded plastic case with quite a nice contrasting green buttons for the braille keys on the top. So it looks quite a snazzy product. The braille keys are sort of ergonomically placed to make it nice and, you know, comfortable when you're brailing on the keyboard. It sort of fits the natural position of your hands.
Do you use the cording system where you combine a series of braille dots with the space bar to get different functions, as the Versa Braille and latterly the Blazy note takers have done?
We certainly do, and we use a convention that's been established for navigation, spatial convention.
Okay. And the interesting thing is that description you just gave us, Morris, of course, it applies to both versions, because the 32 version is no larger, which is an interesting concept to come to grips with.
Yes, that's right. Yep. As I said, the 18 cell display is centered in the middle, and so that's basically the only difference.
Now, as I understand it, what was being displayed at CSUN was a prototype, so you're actually not marketing this just yet?
We've been doing extensive beta testing for the last probably 6 to 7 weeks, and prior to that we've also been involved people in the sort of design phase and sort of in our prototypes down here. We've actually got something like 20 units out in the field at the moment that have been, you know, been used by people or been used by our agents and things like that. So it's quite well advanced along. We're in the sort of final stages of finishing off the some pieces in the software, and beta testing obviously will continue while that's happening. And we're looking to the first shipment of product in mid-May.
I'm interested in how a product like this starts. I mean, how does a product like this get conceived, get talked about, and then eventually end up going to market? It must be a very lengthy process, considering the amount of time and money you would have invested, and even making the decision whether to go ahead with it or not.
Yes, it stretches back for 2 years plus, then we first started talking about, you know, one week, as you say, the Polestar made a conscious decision to move out of the screen reading business, and we kept out of the window screen reading area. I guess for a few years we swung our efforts into the low vision market, the closed circuit televisions, but we've always perhaps felt that we've had a certain expertise in the note-taker range, and Jonathan's, you know, we've been very fortunate to have Jonathan with us all those years, and he's developed a great understanding of making very intuitive products that that people, you know, find great to use and very product that they can get good productivity from. So I guess that's where we came at it from, thinking we've got the skills here. The market's wide open. There's no competition for the leader of the pack, and we would like to provide some competition. So that's where we came at it from. Then we went out into the market and used our contacts through Humanware in America to try and survey the scene and find out what people were looking for, and it sort of evolved from there. But I don't know if Jonathan's got any other sort of comments on that.
Yes, based on that, we had to decide what we were going to do as far as an operating system went and as far as a processor went. And how it went along.
So, I'm interested, Maurice, in your comment that really you felt there was no competition for leader of the pack, because I suppose one could say that the Braille market is so small, given the number of Braille readers there are around the place, that most people who were going to have the means to have a Braille note taker probably already got one. So how did you come to a different view?
Well, I think we felt that if we could come up with something significantly better, a lot of those people might quickly want to trade in those units and get something that they can provide them what we want. It was interesting that while we were at CSUN, I did quite a lot of sessions of five people in a suite in the Hilton, and virtually all those people were Braille light users. And it was interesting that I guess they just could see the advantages that this product gave them over their existing product. And if there was a way that they could get funding to get a new product, I think they'd be going away to do it. So it was a strategic gamble on our part that we could come up with something sufficiently different that would make people want to trade in their old model and come in and get a new up-to-date device.
Well, it was interesting. When I was talking the other day to somebody and mentioning that we were going to do this interview, I had a comment from a couple of people who said, it sounds really good, but you've got that dreadful speech. And yet others in the same group of people said, Keynote's the best speech out there. Is the Keynote particularly susceptible, its speech, to kind of love it or hate it, or do you think that's just symptomatic of speech in general?
I think myself it's symptomatic of speech in general. I think most of our users that use it at high speeds, in the 300-400 words a minute sort of category, the thing that we constantly hear back is that if you pick up something that doesn't sound right, there's a very good chance that it is actually a problem, that you've spelled something wrong or whatever. So from a responsiveness speed point of view, the Keynote performs very well. I think we would also agree that if you're at a slower speed, the naturalness of it isn't as good as some of the later features, or even going back to DeckTalk. But from a productivity tool perspective, it is actually very efficient at what it does.
So do you have prices for BrailleNote at this stage, or is that still being determined?
We've got UK pricing. Basically, the BrailleNote 32 system is, I might have said UK there, I mean US pricing, $5,390 for a fully decked-out system with the BrailleNote 32. That's basically $4,995 for the base unit, $195 for the super disk drive, and a $200 COM package. We're making the COM package, which includes the modem, the JAWS driver, and the ActiveSync software, is a $200 charge for that. And so all up for that one, it's $5,390. And for the 18-cell unit, the same package is $3,790.
Braille is obviously a really expensive component that the Braille sells.
Yes, that's right, yes.
Do you think they're going to come down?
I don't know about that. I guess it's going to depend. It's probably a wee bit subject to the fact that people hold patents on the displays, and the market is sort of dependent on those, a few suppliers. There's not many suppliers of Braille cells.
Okay, so you're not making the Braille cells yourself?
No, we're actually using the Tiemann Braille cell, it's actually one of their newer cells, which is quite a bit shorter from front to back, which allowed us to keep our case design small.
We haven't talked about the Braille support yet as a Braille display. You do have a JFW driver already developed.
That's right, yes.
It's similar to the Tiemann Braille window in its layout, if you like.
Okay. With WindowEyes 4.0 coming out not any day now, within the next few months, I understand, will you be offering Braille support with that screen reader?
Yes, I guess at this stage the reason we've done it with JAWS is that they've had the structure set up to do it, so we were able to just look at how that structure existed and provide that platform for the Braille note. and we would intend doing that or any other screen reader that provided that same platform and information.
Okay, now is there anything that I've missed that you want to trumpet about in the Braille Note?
No, I think as Jonathan has said, perhaps that we feel a key aspect to our decision, and because we had to decide would we make our own operating system, a sort of a custom system, which probably would have been a lot easier, but we chose to go with Windows CE because we were sort of looking for that future connectivity to printers and disk drives, cards. Features like the Active Sync is a brilliant system for transferring information between desktop, laptop, and the Braille Note, so we feel probably that is one of the main things. It's also allowed us to use utilities that have been developed by other third-party people to help with the translation of words to Keysoft documents and things like that. And the things we would like to work on in the future are aspects like being able to take your Outlook Express address book and just port it directly over into Keysoft and keep them synchronized together. So there's lots of exciting possibilities in using that platform. Makes our life easier. It didn't make it easier in the beginning, but now that we've broken the back of that, it does make our life easier.
And presumably the Windows CE platform would allow you to perhaps support other file formats in the future.
That's correct. And also things like electronic books, something that is becoming quite big, I know, in the blindness community and also in the general community.
Yeah. Gosh, if you could crack the PDF one for us, that would be nice.
Yes, that would be, wouldn't it?
Well, that's excellent. And if people want to follow up further, you do have a site specifically devoted to the Braille Note, which I actually found quite interesting. It's got real audio and different press releases. So how do people find that?
That's at braillenote.com. And as the intention is, as we get more things happening, we will put links on that site. We're sort of looking for that to be a sort of focal point for information on the Braille Note. So if people keep checking that, we fully intend to sort of keep that interesting and up to date with what's happening.
Well, this is one of those products that's going to shake the industry, and I appreciate you both coming on the show to talk with us about it.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to do it, Jonathan.